This is VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Follow the money.
This is Follow the Money with Mitch Moss and Pauly Howard on VSiN.
Here we go. Welcome in to Follow the Money on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Mitch Moss along with Pauly Howard. We are live downtown Vegas, Circa Resort and Casino. Busy program lined up today. Tons of college basketball games in action as we speak. Live betting numbers throughout the show. Other bets that we've added for tonight and other conference tournament futures that we have. Dan Leberfeld, Jets Whispers coming up in 30 minutes. His take on NFL free agency. What are the Jets going to end up doing beyond getting Geno Smith now again at quarterback? My God.
Oh.
And is the wrong guy favored to go number two in the draft, the Jets? Thomas Gable in 90 minutes has a couple of good breakdowns on conference tournament futures. And Derek Stevens from here at Circa. It looks like, well, they're still right now in a review that takes typically 27 minutes in college basketball. ACC 12-19 Pittsburgh with a 64-63 lead over Stanford. They have 0.4 on the clock the way it looks. Stanford was a 4.5-point favorite. How serious were they of a bubble team?
First four out in that, so this will end their season. No chance. What's interesting is if Pitt hangs on, if you think a miracle could happen, you can grab 35-1 in play, but they have the ball with less than a second left. So now Pitt will play NC State. Does anybody want to make the tournament? NC State is still safely in. They've lost 6 of 7.
I know.
They lost by 40 to Louisville. They lost by 30 to Virginia. They lost by 30 at home against Duke. They lost to the Stanford team, and they lost at Notre Dame. Still safely in the field.
Safely in, Paul. No problem. Don't worry about it. Lock it up.
Yeah. Well, this becomes a horrific loss, though. They start the day tomorrow against Pitt then. But if they lose that's finally, I would think you'd have to say losers of 7 of 8 and a horrific loss. That's got to be it for NC State if they happen to stub their toe.
Yep. Also going on as we speak, Utah is leading Cincinnati. Looks like 20-19. That game is coming up on 2 minutes to play. Now make it 23-20, actually. About 2:03 to play. That's part of the Big 12 tournament. That game trending under. First game today, Baylor and Arizona State. That did go over, and Arizona State got the outright win as a 5-1 money on Baylor today, game day. Drove that number up to 5.5. ASU got him outright, so they pulled that one off, and I have an angle on that I'll tell you about coming up in about 12 minutes with the court.
Do it for Hurley, right?
In the Big 12. I was going back and forth with a couple of buddies today, and that was the angle where that can happen. And it recently happened with another team where the coach was like the lame duck, and they went on a mini run in the conference tournament, and here you go. And one game in anyway, and Baylor was a total, you know, they were not good this year. And they got that job done for Danny Hurley, who feels like he's been there for 25 years at Arizona State.
Bobby.
Yeah, Danny at UConn, obviously.
I thought he didn't do a good job. So I'm surprised he stayed that long, too. So I like SMU coming up. Would you? They're laying 3.5. They are last four in, according to the Joe Lenardi. 3.5 against Syracuse coming up. Lose and they're out. Win and they probably lock up a bid.
Well, here's the deal on this. It's now at least a 2-point move because they were 5.5. Keep in mind that they are without one of their key guys, guard B.J. Edwards, 13 points per game, 6 rebounds, 4.5 assists, actually 5 assists per game. But again, talking to other people today about the Syracuse program, they're an abomination.
Mm.
And I think maybe the foot was out the door many, many weeks ago on the season. And, they're all in on SMU. For what it's worth, I will say that when the number was 5.5, this is Steve Mackinnon, vsin.com. Big favorites of 5.5 points or more have been very good in the ACC tournament. 61-8 straight up, 40-28-1 ATS. That is 59% when you round up since 2015. ACC opening round favorites are 23-4 straight up, 16-11 ATS since 2016. Syracuse, total disaster. SMU not playing well down the stretch is my one concern here with the team.
Okay. All right.
And we do have 5 title games tonight, Paulie.
Yep. This is, if we live to be 90 years old, I don't know if you're going to see a more wild situation than two incidents we have going on right now. You mentioned 5 title games, number one. We've seen this before, but still, Long Island, fins up, already in the tournament. They clinched a spot Saturday. They play Mercyhurst ineligible in that title game, one of the worst rules in sports with the transition rule. You have that angle. And then this just came down Utah Valley is the one seed.
Yeah.
In the WAC, the tournament and games are off the board. They only have seven teams in their league, but Utah Valley is leaving to go to the Big West next year. They have not complied with a judge's order that they have to put $1 million in escrow with the court. This is agreed upon, their exit fee. They have until 5 o'clock tonight to put the money in. And if they don't, they will come out with a new bracket, and that means no Utah Valley in the one seed is out, kicking them out.
Sure.
Oh, my God.
Now, this would have been something where if you had this news 3 hours ago, before it dropped, it would have been nice so you could attack the betting board and grab some other nice numbers on teams in the conference. But, I mean, I did a cursory look at, you know, obviously books are going to take this off the board now. So you're not going to be able to find that available. And I mean, unless there's a book out there sleeping, which I doubt at this point.
That's enormous.
Of course it is.
The one seed out. Plus, you only have six teams left in the damn league
right.
The way it's at. So I don't know if they're going to be have a whack next year anyways. They only had seven teams, and they're losing a couple teams. So the conference will release new brackets if Utah Valley doesn't comply by 5 o'clock Mountain Time, and they regret the intentional actions of Utah Valley University have caused uncertainty and harm for institutions, student-athletes, coaches, staff, and fans across the WAC, including Utah Valley University. And then how about that? You travel out here, and it's okay. Get it sent home. That's it. You're not playing.
Almost, how many times do you actually have this during an event like on game day or before it's going to get started? The all-timer is Laramie Tunsil on draft night.
Yeah,
when the bong mask came. It comes out and it drops as the draft is going on. You're like, oh my God, what's going to happen to this poor kid? And now, so this is rare. I mean, they waited until right now to bring up the news. That's in that conference anyway, and from a betting standpoint, pretty massive, man.
Well, I think they'd assume they'd wire the money in or put the money in with their exit fee. Yeah. I don't know why they don't think they have to pay the exit fee, which is agreed upon. And then they're leaving next year too. So, did it go final? Did they lose? I will say at least one team played their way in, and that was Santa Clara. That was a great win last night. Joe Lunardi has them now safely in the field. And a little high tonight, though, in the title game. Gonzaga up to 7.5, so we don't get the Gonzaga-St. Mary's send-off as Gonzaga leaves for the Pac-12. And we'll see if Santa Clara can say no need to sweat Sunday. We're already in with the automatic bid, if they can beat Gonzaga, and they were swept during the regular season, and the number feels about right.
I'll give you more numbers here historically in this conference in a second. This show, Follow the Money, is brought to you by ProfitX, and right now you can win a free trip worth up to $10,000 during March Madness with King of March. Use the code VSINMM when you go to ProfitX. Again, the code is VSINMM. Mackin and great numbers again, VSIN.com. West Coast Conference favorites. This applies to the semifinal and the championship rounds. Now, it did not go well last night, 0-2 here. But before this year, 22-14 ATS. You can drop to 22-16 after last night. And the sweet spot for betting favorites has been in this tournament between 6 and 12 points. Those teams, which is what Gonzaga falls into tonight, 26-4 straight up, 23-6-1 ATS in the last 30 games. And when the title game... Well, and that's the game tonight, but overall totals in the conference tournament of 147 or higher, they're over at a 69.2% clip, 27-12-1, while averaging about 157 points per game. And you got a big total in this game tonight as well.
Yep. And I would think you get a huge effort out of Gonzaga if they were sleepwalking yesterday. As they were looked rusty, a lot of time off, and huge favorite. They just went through the motions beating Oregon State. Are you taking Mercyhurst?
I took 5.5.
Yeah? Okay.
Are you taking Siena?
I don't like them. Their best player was ruled ineligible last week. This is a great story. Merrimack's never made the tournament. Mm-hmm. They've been Division I for only 6 years. So if they can get this done, only their second year in the Metro Atlantic, that'd be great. It seems like there's too much respect for the Saints here. And certainly the issue with that guy was ruled ineligible for Siena. So
down to 1.5 now?
I don't know.
It was 4 this morning.
I don't get it. Yeah. No. But the other thing is
Siena's been hitting some threes lately. That's the good thing.
Okay. Yeah. I would take Merrimack in this one. But the other reason to get on Mercyhurst was what we talked about briefly yesterday, but the incredible numbers from Mackin and going back. The dog in the title game in the Northeast is 16-3 ATS with 13 outright upsets. 13 times. Right. And last year, Central Connecticut was laying 11.5 at home, and they lost the game and scored only 43 points. So is it already celebrating? They already know they're in? Or is it this is the Super Bowl for Mercyhurst, and they're on national TV, and they want to show up? Or Rod Strickland did a great job with the Sharks, and they swept them as well. But I think Mercyhurst is live here, but they can't get away from the history in these title games, how the Dogs have crushed it. And for whatever reason, the favorite and the home team comes out flat and tight every year.
And I'll give you this. So they played twice this year. Long Island swept the regular season back in early January. They were laying 8.5. They won that game. It was a squeaker, 60-58. And the second time around, they were laying 3.5. They won that one 91-83. So tonight, now 5.5. But again, they're already in. Mercyhurst cannot advance beyond this game. It just seems like an odd... The whole thing is super odd, and I can't believe college sports still allows this to happen. But I don't... 8.5 the first time, they barely won the game.
Yeah. Yeah. But that was be nice to be inside the locker room too about what these guys are thinking too.
Yeah.
And also about that's just like normal, right? Just go out and celebrate Saturday once you're already sure. In and clinched.
I do think the Horizon game can be really, really good tonight.
Yes. Wright State was awesome in the second half.
Yeah, and I thought Detroit was also that was a good game. Yeah. Some of these games were really good. We'll get into the CAA title game, and there are some good numbers in that conference. And something I wanted to track. Did you look at this new floor today in the Big 12, this LED floor, and how it's impacting the game that's in action right now? I'll break that down for you coming up here on VSiN.
So you're listening to this podcast because you want an edge. But what if I told you you're only halfway there? You've got the mindset. Now it's time to get the toolkit to match. Here's the thing. Pro bettors spend thousands on data and tools, but what they don't want you to know is you can get the same edge for a fraction of the cost with VSiN Pro. With VSiN Pro, you get access to expert picks, public betting data, prop projections, powerful tools, analytics, and more. Tap the link in the description and see why thousands of bettors are already using VSiN Pro to cash more bets.
Is Follow the Money on VSiN.
Follow the Money is brought to you by ProfitX, and right now you can win flights and hotels anywhere you want, up to $10,000 with their King of March contest. Sign up with the code VSiNMM at ProfitX. Right now we go out to the Progressive Guest Line. Dan Leberfeld, kind enough to join us here on a Tuesday at Jets Whispers on X, Jets Confidential Magazine as well. Dan, thanks for the time. The big news today from the team that you're closest to, the New York Jets, went out and traded a sixth-round pick for Geno Smith. I'm guessing the Jets Nation pretty fired up about this move, huh?
Well, obviously not. The last time I was around Geno Smith covering the Jets, he got punched in the face by a defensive lineman and broke his jaw. I'm not taking sides in that, but Geno supposedly didn't show up to the guy's charity football camp in Texas, and the guy punched him in the face. That's the last memory I have of Geno with the Jets. But you know what? Let's look at it this way. I'm taking a different approach on this. If you're in the NFL and you need a quality backup quarterback, if you could get a guy who has 98 starts in his career and you're paying him $1.3 million and you give him a sixth-round pick for him, let's say Geno's the number two, right? Would you do that? Would you give up a sixth-round pick for a quarterback with 98 starts to be your number two in a league where you often have to play your number two? I know that's a different way of looking at it, but would you do that?
No, because I think the Raiders were going to cut him anyway.
Well, the Jets are spinning it that there were other teams that were interested. But the point here is that I don't think it's a great idea. Obviously, the fans are not going to be excited about it. Not that you govern by public opinion polls, but you know, it's interesting doing a research on this. Geno's record the last 3 years in Seattle, 9-8, 8-7, 10-7. Would the Jets sign up for any of those records as a team that's missed the playoffs 15 years in a row?
In a heartbeat,
yeah.
Yes. Yeah, but that ain't happening. If he's the number two, who's the star? Do they sign another guy? Could they go Simpson in the draft? What's the thinking there?
Well, I think they're going to sign another guy because they're only paying Geno $1.3 million this year based on a renegotiated contract, with the Raiders picking up most of that ridiculous contract that they gave him a year ago. So $1.3 million, you can go out and get another quarterback. Carson Wentz has that background with Frank Reich from Indianapolis. And if you really look at back at that season when Frank and Carson Wentz were together in Indianapolis, Carson Wentz wasn't bad. I think they got rid of him that year because of the COVID vaccine. And that was Jimmy Irsay was still alive, and Carson Wentz wouldn't take the vaccine. And that was a really polarizing issue back then. Carson Wentz was not terrible that year in Indianapolis, if you guys recall, for the Colts under Frank Reich. So they can go out and sign Carson Wentz for no money and let Geno and Carson Wentz have a competition for the job and still go out and draft the Ty Simpson in this 2026 selection meeting.
Okay, so the clinging right now to the number two overall pick, assuming they hang on to that, right now in betting markets, Reese from Ohio State is a minus $2 favorite here, or $2 favorite, to go number two overall. Meanwhile, David Bailey from Texas Tech, edge rusher, awesome with the Red Raiders. He's about 2-1. Are you hearing anything there who they might be like leaning towards at this moment?
Well, you know, they signed two edge rushers in free agency, but neither one of them have gaudy sack totals. Joseph Asai coming over from the Bengals, and Kingsley, I don't want to butcher his last name, coming over from the Green Bay Packers. But, you know, when you're a 6'7" sack guy and you go to a new team, no one should expect you to be more than that. So they still need a game-wrecking edge rusher. David Bailey's the more established edge rusher, put up really nice numbers for Texas Tech this past year, I believe 12.5 sacks. So I think that you could see them picking David Bailey at number two. I'm not ruling out the other player. I just don't know if you pick an off-the-ball linebacker at number two, what kind of edge rusher do you expect to be when he hasn't done a lot of it?
Mm. Fair enough.
Good. Okay. So how about some moves that you liked so far in free agency? And I know you're high on what the team out here did. Your thoughts on the Raiders?
Yeah, I mean, the thing about when you look at Max Crosby, what's the old saying? We can lose with you, we can lose without you. Now, I'm not blaming Max Crosby for the Raiders' struggles, but they lost a lot of games with him. And you know what? No one will say this out by you because he's so beloved and he's a good guy, but he turned him into a little bit of a locker room lawyer. I mean, let's be honest about it. Mm-hmm. With Crosby, he pushed McDaniel. He was involved with getting Josh McDaniels out of there. He pushed for Antonio Pierce, and then Antonio Pierce was gone. And then the whole thing with the guy that Tom Brady's good friends with, Guerrero, mm-hmm. All the stories about him not being happy with Guerrero. So Max can be a little bit of a drama guy, but here's the thing about that. To trade Max Crosby for two first-round picks, and then the Ravens don't have enough money to re-sign Linderbaum, so you turn around and sign Linderbaum to give your rookie quarterback. When I say you are, I hate saying that because it sounds like you guys are Raiders fans, but I was talking more from a Raiders perspective. To go out and get Linderbaum to be the center, they're going to get Colton Miller back at left tackle. And I wouldn't be surprised at 14 if they pick the best right tackle in the draft. That's where the right tackles kind of land, like the Alabama kid, as far as right tackle. So you could have bookend tackles and Linderbaum at center for Mendoza, who's a good prospect but not the most mobile guy. And then they go out and get two really good linebackers in Quay Walker and the Kobe Dean. They get an edge rusher who's not as good as Crosby, obviously, but he's pretty good in Quiddy Pay. Yeah. They sign an underrated receiver in Jalen Naylor, who did really good work for Minnesota. I to get a sixth-round pick for Geno when you were going to cut him anyway, kind of like what the Raiders are doing in free agency.
Mm-hmm. So pretty much everybody in the know, so to speak, if you watch ESPN NFL Network, they're, you know, connecting the dots basically and saying that they would bet on Kyler Murray going to Minnesota as his next stop. Do you agree with that?
Well, you know, that's, you know, some of the leaks out of Florham Park, where the Jets are, that the Vikings were interested in Geno. And that's why the Jets had to give up the sixth-round pick for Geno Smith to make sure they got him in the building, which sounds weird to make sure he got him in the building, considering his career has been so up and down. But, you know, Kyler Murray, I don't know. I mean, I don't understand when people act like he's the best guy available in free agency. Sometimes you wonder if some of these people watch these quarterbacks play when they talk about Kyler Murray being in demand. We're talking about a 5'10 quarterback who, if you trap him in the pocket, he can't see the field. And that happened in so many games. But, you know, maybe KOC, Kevin O'Connell in Minnesota, who's a really good play caller, figures he can come up with a good package for Kyler Murray. But you know what? I always say this on SiriusXM. There's not a Tom Brady tree out there where you could pluck a Tom Brady off a tree to play quarterback for you. So when the Jets go out and get Geno Smith, you look at the landscape like, who else are they going to get at this point? Mm-hmm. Maybe Kirk Cousins. What's going on with Kirk Cousins is the question.
Yeah, right. Well, how about his older team, old team? What'd you think of Tua going to Atlanta? Because you had a good retweet about why did Miami and Arizona extend those guys and give them so much money when they hadn't proven anything?
Yeah, it's ridiculous. I didn't even like the Jordan Love extension. You're going back to Green Bay. I didn't like the Trevor Lawrence extension. Like, who's to say, a new thing in the media will say, the player's eligible for an extension after the third year. Who says? Why not wait till after the fourth or fifth year? You have those quarterbacks locked up for 4 years, first-round quarterbacks, and then the fifth-year option. What's the rush to sign these guys? And you heard the rumors out of Minnesota that they wanted to put that provision in his contract with Kyler Murray. If he studied more, he would get more money. Like, why would you want a quarterback like that? So I like Tua to Atlanta. It's going to shock you guys. I'll tell you why. Tua in a dome nine times during the season for Atlanta, the 8 or 9 home games, depending on which year you win with the 17-game schedule, and then at New Orleans, Tua in a dome without wind or snow or rain, I kind of like him in those conditions. I don't like him in Buffalo playing a road game. But if you have 8 or 9 or 10 games in a dome, Tua, to me, could be okay in a dome with no weather.
Great stuff, Dan. Follow him on X at Jets Whispers. Thank you for the time. We appreciate that.
Anytime, guys.
Appreciate you.
Dan Leberfeld here on the Progressive Guest Line.
Yeah, he's been terrible in cold weather. That's an interesting angle on Tua. Follow the Money brought to you by ProfitX. Win 10 pregame spreads or totals across the 67 tournament games. Hit your volume goal and you enter to win a free trip of your choice. Download ProfitX, create your account, use code VSINMM, win 10, hit the volume, earn your shot. Only on ProfitX, code VSINMM, create your account and download it now. Good luck.
Win, lose next. 8 more teams have double revenge tonight in college basketball. We'll tell you if it's been profitable so far in conference tournaments, and you will not believe what the Clippers accomplished. Paulie with the details coming up next here on VSiN.
This is Follow the Money on VSiN.
Follow the Money is brought to you by ProfitX, and right now their King of March promotion is giving bettors a shot at free trips worth up to $10,000. Use the promo code VSINMM to get started with ProfitX, and right now we head back east. Thomas Gable joins the program on the Progressive Guest Line. He's in charge of the Race and Sportsbook at the Borgata in Atlantic City. Thomas, good to talk to you. I can't wait to hear this because you sent me a message earlier today and said, fascinating handicap to the A-10 tournament. I want to do a deep dive on it. Can't wait to hear what it is. I will point out that St. Louis is the short shot at plus 125, but they have been blasted twice in their last four games. Then it's VCU plus 175. Paulie has a bet on Dayton, and they're around 6-1 right now. The floor is yours, pal. What stands out to you about this league?
Yeah, I think this tournament is fascinating because I believe, certainly with the way St. Louis current form is, that you can make a case for 6 different teams here in this tournament. So we can start at the top there with St. Louis, and they have by all means throughout the season they have been the class of this conference, but they have been sort of on a downward trend, I would say, the last you know, 3, 4 weeks, 5 weeks of the season, it's not been quite as good for Josh Schertz's group. Now, Schertz is a tremendous coach. I think he's done a great job there. He obviously was fantastic at Indiana State when he was there. And there's a lot of things alike with this group because they have 7 guys who can play, who all contribute. It's an unselfish group. And Schertz kind of lets them play. He like kind of lets them take what the defense dictates for them. So I've always liked how they've done this season. But as you said, they've lost some games here lately, and we're just blown out. And you know, going into this tournament, not in the greatest of form. So then you look, okay, VCU probably. Well, they are the number 2 seed. I make them only a 1-point dog right now to St. Louis. VCU has come on very strong under Phil Martelli Jr. there. And then you look at the other 2 teams there that have a double bye. So there's 4 teams that get a double bye in this tournament. So you have St. Louis, VCU, St. Joe's, who's the 3 seed, and then Dayton, who's the 4 seed. Now, St. Joe's has been playing exceptionally well here lately as well. I bumped their power rating up probably about 5 points in the last 7 weeks or so of the season. Their defense is really what carries the day for them. This was another interesting kind of coaching story around the Hawks this year. They had Billy Lang, who was their head coach for a couple seasons there. He exited not with much time left, really, before the season, and took an MBA job. They brought in Donahue to be the coach. And this is Lang's roster. Definitely Lang put this team together, but Donahue's the one who has really kind of led this team back. And they dismissed kind of the guy that the whole program was built around, Deuce Jones, after only a couple games this season. And you can see that was certainly in hindsight, the right move for St. Joe's, because this team has just really come together now as a team. Guys have stepped up. Maybe they were just role players. They now have stepped up in the leadership positions. Jaden Glover Toscano, who's a sophomore guard, he's the one guy who has really kind of come on strong and certainly has led this team from an offensive standpoint. So, and then you get down to Dayton, who's the 4 seed. Now, I said 6 teams initially could potentially win this. And when you're looking at the odds board for this tournament, I mean, Dayton's 6-1. St. Joe's, right now, we have a 12-1. George Washington, we have at 16-1. George Washington is the 9th seed in this tournament. Mm. And they're only at 16-1. And then you still have George Mason there, who I think you could make a case for as well, at 30-1. Mason's the 5th seed. Now they would get a matchup. They will face the winner of LaSalle and St. Bonnie's tomorrow. George Mason will face. So if you say there, then they'll go on to face Dayton potentially. And Mason and Dayton right now, I have Dayton would be basically a 3-point favorite over Mason. And just again, if George Washington advances there against Fordham, they face St. Louis. And George Washington, at this point, I would only make a 5-point dog to St. Louis.
Oh.
So there is definitely potential for chaos in this tournament. You have VCU and St. Louis. They are the 2 top seeds, and they're top seeds for a reason. But there are quite a few teams that are kind of just right under there and can certainly play with both of those teams and beat them. So I would not be surprised to see any of those 6 teams potentially coming away with it. St. Louis, Dayton, VCU, St. Joe's, George Washington, or even George Mason. You could make a case for any of the 6 to come away with the title here. And then when you're really looking at it from a NCAA tournament perspective, I mean, St. Louis is in. VCU seems to be in at this point.
Yep.
So, you know, if you get one of these other teams across the finish line there, potentially you're looking at 3 A-10 teams in the tournament.
Great breakdown. Mm-hmm. Yeah, also, nobody gets an advantage with the location and Pitt. You know, I agree with everything you said. It's hard to bet VCU at +180, but, you know, this is wide open and an excellent breakdown. What do you think of the Big East? and what this means for business at your joint, and if we can get a St. John's UConn round three.
Well, I mean, that's where it should be. I mean, that should be the final here. I mean, UConn is favored for this tournament, $1.35. You have to lay $1.35 there if you want. But UConn, St. John's, plus 210 right now. And then Nova, who's the three seed, plus 550. And Nova, I mean, when you look at, again, I think Kevin Willard's done a tremendous job with this school this year. There's definitely a drop-off between UConn and St. John's and then the rest of the conference. But I think Phil Nova has done a very good job being that firm number three team in the conference this year. And they certainly could give a game to either Connecticut or St. John's. But I see this probably going the way of the chalk here and UConn meeting St. John's in the final. Obviously, St. John's would – being at the Garden, obviously that's their home floor. They would have somewhat of a home court advantage there. On a true neutral, I make a UConn about 2.5 point favorite over St. John's at the moment. So I could see at the Garden this being about 1.5 to 1 point favorite for UConn. But, UConn is, I think, still kind of bubbling right underneath that very, very top tier of college basketball in terms of the national title contenders. You have the very, very top, which is in no particular order, Michigan, Duke, Florida, and Arizona. And then UConn is probably right underneath there with another handful of schools in that. But I think just due to Hurley and the experience that he has in the tournament, I think Hurley's a tremendous coach. This team, I think, definitely has an outside chance to win another national title, but they just aren't quite on that upper echelon level of the top four.
Thomas, in about a minute here, on the games that we have mm-hmm. remaining on the board tonight, some of the numbers obviously have moved. Do you like anything currently available?
What's Wright State now? Are they still 4.5, I think? Yeah, they're still around 4. I laid 4 with them this morning, seeing some 5s. Really, I mean, these numbers are spot on okay. at this point, so everything is, I thought all the numbers actually today that were out in the market were very good.
Yeah. How about this one? In Atlantic City tonight, Siena takes on Merrimack in the Metro Atlantic finale. You can't book this because of state rules there, but a right. nice 2.5 point move here. Merrimack was 4. They're down to 1.5 now, the way it looks.
Yeah. So, I mean, that would be tempting. If I could bet that, I would be tempted to delay it there on Merrimack. I mean, Siena obviously takes some money, but Siena, from what I'm hearing, going to have a very, very strong crowd showing up there tonight. They're busing quite a few of the students in, so should be a decent crowd there at Boardwalk Hall tonight.
Thomas, great perspective today. Thank you for the time. We appreciate that.
All right. Thanks, guys.
There you go. Thomas Gable at the Borgata in Atlantic City joined us here on the Progressive Guest Line.
Juice Reel links all your sportsbook accounts, imports your bets, and gives you automatic tracking and analytics, and it's free in the app. Everyone's bet history is synced directly from the books. No faking stats, no lying about profits. You're as good as your record says you are. They rank every bettor, and you can see exactly what the best bettors in the community have their money on, tail their picks, join in on the profits, and if you're the sharp one, you get paid when others follow your picks and win. Download Juice Reel today. It's free. R-E-E-L. Get it today. The days of cappers lying are over. Juice Reel. It's free. R-E-E-L. Get Juice Reel.
You have an intriguing list of games tonight to bet on in the association, including two of the hottest teams in the league for 2+ months meeting tonight on the court. We'll break it down for you coming up on Follow the Money. It's VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Follow the Money on VSiN.
Our man has been quite busy last month or so. Derek Stevens, owner, CEO of Circa Las Vegas, joins us in studio. It's been a while. How are you?
Good. How you doing, guys?
Doing well.
Good to see you.
We, you know, we talk about this every single year. We did this a little bit earlier on the show today as well, talking about this week compared to next week. I'm not going to say, like, how does Vegas compare to next week? Because next week for the Madness is, like, one of the best weekends of the entire year. But has championship week grown to the point of where you actually notice it on the bottom line year after year in terms of how popular it is, the betting handle, vacancy, et cetera?
Oh, yeah. It's definitely turned into a pretty good week here. I mean, I don't think I would have seen 30, 40 people wearing Gonzaga t-shirts roaming around here yesterday.
Yeah.
And saw some Santa Clara roaming around. The tournaments in Vegas are great. And it's a perfect lead-in right up to Selection Sunday. Then everybody gets to go home, get one day of sleep, and then you go to it. And it starts this year, kicks off with St. Patrick's Day. So we got to be prepared. So no, this is a great week. This whole conference championship week is really turning into something very important for Las Vegas.
And a win-win next year, because the Pac-12 is going to play their conference tournament here as well when they have the new conference next year. So how about St. Paddy's, all these games, the madness? It's going to be 100 degrees next week. Do you have advice for people what to do and where to go and what they should do here at Circa and get their game ready and get their app ready?
We were just talking about that upstairs at lunch. This is something. You know, St. Patrick's Day on Tuesday. Then one thing that's changed is Wednesday is the day that the majority of people come to check in now. Everybody's here. Everybody wants to be here first thing Thursday morning, right? So Wednesday night out here, it's going to look like a Saturday night. So Tuesday night, St. Patrick's Day, Wednesday, everybody's coming in hot. Thursday, all day. Friday, all day. Just rest up because it's going to be a great yeah. March Madness. I think this will be. I did an interview earlier in Illinois, and they said, "Where do you think it's going to stand up this year?" I go, "I have the same answer to this one. I've had the same answer for the last 12 years. The answer is, it'll be better than last year, which is the best ever. It's always every year it's gotten bigger and bigger."
Well, I couldn't believe last year. The line to get into the ballroom at 7:30 was past the coffee shop.
Yeah. We actually have a few basketball teams, actually pro teams coming in to spend a day that rented out rooms and stuff like that.
What?
No.
Yeah.
Right.
NBA teams.
Yeah. Pretty unbelievable.
That was last year?
No,
or this
coming
year?
coming in next week.
Can you say?
No.
Okay.
I just signed an NDA.
Oh, wow.
Where are they going to watch? Is there a separate room?
Up in our ballroom.
They're going to be up top.
Yeah. You're kidding.
Yeah. Three.
Yeah, it's really amazing.
All the players and coaches and everybody?
A pretty good chunk. Yeah, I saw the rooming list. I don't know. A couple teams got to have like an off day or something. Yeah. So they just rented a plane. They're flying in. They want to watch it here. It's awesome.
Oh, my God. Good that's job. Unbelievable.
Good job.
So it's pretty cool how this has turned into a, you know, pretty massive cultural event and things like that. I'm hoping a little bit that last year was a unique situation. I definitely want to have a 14 or a 13 and a 12, you know, pull that upset. Last year was the March Madness with a limited amount of madness. Mm-hmm. So I'm hoping with NIL, it hasn't fundamentally changed things. But I can tell you, it hasn't changed the fact that everybody's coming out here. Room rates are through the roof. The city's going to be sold out. Restaurant reservations, there's your hint right there. Yeah. If you don't have a steakhouse reservation, like, by the next day or two, you're probably out of luck. So
you know, friends with Derek doesn't work. Doesn't cut it.
No, it doesn't work.
I know the owner. Not going to get it done. Hey, you're right about that.
By the way, this could be maybe a pro tip, and you could thank me later. A kickback maybe from the companies. If you're coming to town, 100 degrees all day like that, people should probably line up their IV drips in their rooms very soon.
That's going to be a heavily
they're going to be
requested.
Absolutely, it will be.
Yeah, I mean, you're not going to be able to call on Thursday morning when you're feeling like you gave it a little too much on Wednesday night. No, you're right. You got to get that. You got to get your dinner reservations. I would say based upon the meetings I had with Wilbo a couple of days ago, stadium swim, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. We know it'll be record numbers. So, I mean, it's effectively sold out. The sports book's going to be crazy. So all the numbers are up from the year before, and that was the biggest year we'd ever had.
Well, this is also great for business. You know, come to town, and you can win life-changing money. Stay at Circa. How about the fireworks while you were gone? The second time the Pigal Progressive hit, $380,000. And right before that, someone hit the three-card poker for $31,000.
Yeah, I was. I sent you guys that text. I'm like, oh, man, sorry, I'm not going to be here today. That was a couple weeks ago. Yeah, the guy hits it for what? Three was 380, right?
Yeah.
Or 360.
One of them was amazing.
Right out there.
Yeah. Playing by himself.
Him? Yeah, did you see him?
I didn't see him, but I saw the picture and I got the story about
him. Yeah.
He was playing, then his family got up. He stayed. He's the only one there. And then he got the seven card straight flush and didn't even win the hand, apparently, how he played it. But then there it is, 300 plus thousand, second time it's ever hit. I can't believe it. That's a crazy story, what happened. And then the three-card hit right before for $31,000 as well with the three-card poker as well. Whose idea was it with the Bitcoin promotion with the cabana, and how's that doing?
Well, it's for sale. We got to land one, right?
Yes.
So how's it doing? I don't know. I think it's pretty cool.
Yeah.
We came up with this idea. You know, we're going to have an event. You get to have a whole lot. Just cost one Bitcoin. Now, when we did this...
buy the whole thing out?
Yeah, when we did this, a Bitcoin is like 100,000. Okay, now it's like 60,000.
Yeah.
No, not 70,000 today. So it goes up and down. But yeah, you get the cabana, you get invite... What was it? You invite 100 of your friends over. You have Legacy Club to yourself for a couple hours. You got you got Barry cooking up some special chef's table meals. So yeah, you know, you go a long way with one Bitcoin.
I'd say. Do you miss the early days of March Madness on VSiN when we first started and you would go to the South Point and as soon as the numbers were posted, you would put 11,000 to win 10 on every single game?
Somebody asked me that today. He said, are you going to be doing that again? Like, and I haven't done that in a few years. But that was a lot of fun
that was great.
And you know, it is amazing when you post, boom, you post a number. Back then, Circus Sports wasn't even around, I don't think. It was. We were using Westgate at that time. I think we had Caesars and MGM or something like that. They posted their number and had 60 seconds to make a play. First year didn't work out too well. Second year worked out pretty well,
did
though.
It?
But I couldn't believe when you post numbers just on those opening numbers, how much those numbers changed.
Sure.
You know, Westgate might be a 4.5. Somebody else might be a 6.5, 7.
Yep.
So
did you guys move any numbers in the NFL based on day one of free agency?
Not that I saw in my group text. I don't think there was anything that really happened that was all that surprising. Everybody knew that, you know, who had cap space, they had cap space. I think clearly the Raiders kind of stood out on what they did. They look great and very smart. So I thought the Raiders stood out. But I think everything else kind of fell in line. I don't know. Have you got what do you guys? Is there any team that's running away with this so far? Do you think?
I think the Raiders have done a good job.
Yeah.
But I'm waiting to see what Murray does. I think if the Vikings get Kyler Murray, you got to take 60-1. Don't
okay.
you?
Yeah, I mean,
they won 9 games with trash at quarterback.
Yeah.
So it's a tough division. I understand where Mitch's point. But I
take it you don't love J.J. McCarthy to lead you to the promised land.
No.
All right.
Not that Murray's Tom Brady, but I think that's a big step up for the organization if they land him.
Did you like Pacheco to your Lions?
I sure did. I mean, I understand. So David Montgomery had to go to the Texans. I think it's a great move for the Texans. But you have to have somebody else so you can spell Jahmyr Gibbs. So I like that move. I like that move quite a bit.
Would you take Gibbs number one in fantasy?
You'd have to think about it. You certainly would have to think about it. I mean, obviously, your scoring system is going to have a big impact on what you're doing. You don't talk about scoring system. You know what we're going to do with, you know, you've had Ian Ritchie on here, full-time fantasy, right? Now, he got inspired because of Circa Grandissimo, our $100,000 contest. He goes, well, what do you think about having $100,000 fantasy football? I'm like, I like it. You think you'd do it? He goes, yeah, no problem. So I talked to him the other day. He said, yeah, 12 teams. I go, you think you're going to fill 12? He goes, yeah, I could probably fill 2 of them. I go, what? I go, couldn't believe it. So I told him we're in. We're going to have a little circuit. We're going to have a little circuit entry here. So we're going to have a little fun with this.
Are you going to have the draft, the stadium swim?
Yeah, that's part of the deal. We're going to have stadium swim. We're going to do it on, on football contest sign-up weekend.
Okay.
$100,000 an entry.
Yeah.
Is there going to be one winner, or will it pay out multiple teams?
I don't know. We're still trying to figure that one out.
You want one winner, don't you?
I don't know. I've never been in a fantasy football contest with that type of entry fee, so I'm interested to hear it out.
Okay. All right.
Yes. Right.
Good to see
you. I'm also interested to see who's showing up. Who are all these guys that are going to be coming here? I like to know that.
Oh, you open it up here on the network, the show, and you'll get people.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Thanks, Derek. Good to see you again. Up next, we'll tell you what we've added to the portfolio tonight and moving forward with In Pocket Plays here on VSiN.